The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is our freaking moment, early in the playoffs. I'm not trying to get to July and say I wish we would have did whatever. It's freaking right now.
You make all these plans, you have a week of planning, and everything goes out of the window.
Harris has got it all crooked here in this one.
We just
got
to bring the energy each and every night.
I'm glad we got this one, so it's the next one, man.
Booker, left-hand dribble, flushes with two hands.
Booker is having his way.
This is on me, take full responsibility. We look forward to game two.
Boy, I am excited to see basketball back in the Mecca.
Goes up and throws it down.
This is fun.
Young on the floater, puts it in.
Everybody's chanting F you.
They're still yelling now, I don't care.
Putting on an offensive show. Memphis has pulled the upset.
It's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get the people.
Yes.
What?
They won. What a weekend of NBA playoff basketball. The most exciting opening weekend of my lifetime.
Wow.
And we will start with the Suns and the Lakers. It is a 2-7 series, but it doesn't feel like a 2-7 series. And the Suns got game one behind Aiden and Booker. Were you surprised by the Suns?
I am not surprised. I got two words for you, young man. Player development. Mm-hmm. I've been telling you about this all year with Monty Williams and that coaching staff. Was that Devin Booker's first playoff game?
Yes.
Was that Aiton's first playoff
didn't
game?
Look like it,
didn't
but yes.
Look like it did,
no, it
right?
did not at
and
all.
Chris Paul was dealing with a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. That may clearly be a factor as this series progresses. But this is all about Devin Booker. He scored the most points in the NBA before playing in the playoffs. Now he got a chance to play in the playoffs. And he shined. And what about Aiton? Did you see the big fella change it into the floor?
10 for 11 from the floor.
Did you see him grab
10 for 11.
Did you see him outplaying Anthony Davis?
Yes, I did,
because
Mr. Rose.
That's what happened. And by the way, Booker did it in all phases. You see it on the post.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in transition. You see it from three. You see it mid-range. You know he's fourth in the league in mid-range shot. You know I love
I know you love that.
And Jalen, mid-range.
As much as I love celebrating the Suns, story of this game was Anthony Davis and his performance. Here's what the Brow had to say about it.
There's no way we're winning a game. Let alone a series, you know, with me playing the way I play. So, I mean, this was on me. I take full responsibility for sure.
First of all, why is he in his PJs, Jalen? Is he in his PJs because he was sleeping all game?
I love you so much. That's exactly what I was thinking. I swear to God. This is why we have the greatest chemistry in the history of this industry.
PJs?
Because let me tell you something. Anthony Davis looks like me at night at home, at the podium. That's how I am at the crib. Sometimes you ask me, do I put all of my jewelry on? Sometimes I just do that. I'm gonna have to go IG live and show y'all. And you know what? That's how he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the game. We had the game. You know the thing I was saying?
What?
Hey, AD, you know that color area on the floor called the paint? It'd be awesome if you go near it.
Yeah.
It was like it was an electronic fence surrounding the paint. He didn't go near the paint.
No.
But there are two things that's going to happen. The Lakers will find a way to come back and win the series, especially with Chris Paul being hot.
Mm-hmm. They're going to
come back.
He didn't look like
him. Don't panic. The Lakers will win the series. But this is my point of making the journey tougher. Your margin for error is slight, and the Lakers have to play AD at the five. I know he told y'all he don't like playing the
why?
Five.
I don't know why he did that.
I know he don't want to take the penalty.
He's 7 feet tall,
dog. I know
dog.
He don't want to get the fouls. I get it. But they got to put out Drummond. They have to play Gasol because that's what Anthony wants them to do.
Mm.
However, if they're going to maximize their offensive potential, you see that distorted spacing right there? That's LeBron James trying to drive the basketball to the hole. You saw Andre Drummond on the baseline. Therefore, his man becomes a health defender.
Yep.
That's just what was happening. And the Phoenix Suns did a terrific job of playing boxes and elbows defensively, forcing Lakers into contested shots. The Lakers were not making their threes. It was a terrific game plan and execution by the number two seeded Phoenix Suns.
It was a great job by Phoenix. And I predict a huge game from Anthony Davis in game two. But before we get to that, we have to talk about the only series that matters. The New York Knickerbockers as the four seed with the Garden packed. You know what, Jalen? They got a huge win yesterday. Huge win. No, they didn't win the game, but when your best player plays his worst game and it comes down to that final shot from Trae Young, that's a moral victory for the New York Knicks. Great job by the Knicks. Good job, Knicks. Good job, Knicks.
See, here comes the integrity in my job, because when the words come out of my mouth, people are going to be like, oh, you're hating on the Knicks. Like, Scott Perry isn't my brother. Like, I didn't give William Wesley the name worldwide. Like, I actually didn't play for the Knicks. Like, we're not doing this show in New York. But here's what I did do.
What?
Pick the Hawks to win this series.
That's fine. Because, you can be wrong. You've been wrong before.
Trae Young is out there cold. Before. He's cold outside.
Julius Randle played his worst game of the season, and it came down to a miraculous floater and a huge Bogdanovich three for them to win.
Can
I'm not worried as a Knicks
fan.
You, I'm not worried.
Can I tell you
not
one of the 1 million things Trae Young have and I have in common? We can't cut our hair because it's thinning up top. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, he's shooting runners, he's shooting floaters, he's shooting from three. And the thing about it is, wasn't it his first playoff game?
Yes, that was his first.
And did he have over 30?
Yes.
Did he have 10 dimes?
Yes.
Okay, was Spike Lee there?
Yes, Spike.
Okay, so he put on a show.
He did.
And that's the reason why I picked them to win, because Julius Randle was outstanding this year. And by the way, I got to say something about RJ Barrett's dunk. Julius Randle was outstanding this year, but like I told you, Nate McMillan, a defensive wizard, is not going to allow Julius Randle, who led the league in isolation, to go one-on-one. And RJ Barrett, my fellow lefty, big shout. That was a big dunk.
That was a great dunk.
You said the Knicks won, right?
Knicks won.
All of the Knicks fans, that was John Starks. That was over Horace
Grant. Might not get the game, but got the highlight. In New York fashion.
New York has even put MJ in the poster. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just on Horace Grant. It was on MJ, too. And here's the thing. I'm a lefty, and I say this with respect as a former player. RJ Barrett and I don't have hops.
No.
Right?
No. Got long arms.
So it actually has to happen perfect. And yes. Right there, that was, dog, you know this, Jacoby.
Bogdanovich sort of contested, but not really.
Bogdanovich was in it, but he didn't after him. He didn't give him no body.
No foul.
He didn't get above the rim. No. He didn't follow, and it just looked excellent. It looked excellent, right? But when it was all said and done,
I didn't like the end of the game. I did not like Trae Young talking to the Garden crowd.
Why?
I did not like him with the finger to the mouth.
Why, you know, New Yorker? Why, you know, why die easy, New York Knicks fan?
You know why I didn't like it?
Why?
Because I was mad at him. Because he hit that floater. And Nerlens Noel should have been in the game. And you can't put Frank Ntilikina in there for no reason at the end of the game. I watched him with his headband on. I'm like, who is that with the headband? Why are you putting Frank Ntilikina in for one possession when he didn't play the entire game? He's probably surprised when coach went to him and told him to go in the game.
And Tibbs is an OG. That's when keeping the analytics goes wrong.
He made a mistake.
I promise you. I'm telling you what happens. We have one crucial stop. Let me find the guy by the numbers.
Probably has his warm-ups
who's the
on.
The best defender.
Yeah.
There was somebody on the bench. I promise you. I promise you. Somebody that didn't play in the league. That didn't play in the league. That just crunches numbers for a living. It's like, you got to get Frankie Smokes out there right now.
No, that was a bad call. He'll get one stop.
It don't matter if he's stiff. It don't matter if he didn't play. Trae Young was like, oh, okay, you new to the game? Okay, cool. Take this.
Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
There was one result that actually really surprised me, and that was from the Grizzlies and Jazz series. It was late, way past my bedtime. I'm watching this one, and Dylan Brooks and the Jazz beat the number one seed, Utah Jazz.
All I know is this, and I'm pretty sure Memphis Grizzlies fans will tell you this. Before the playoffs started, all season, that guy right there, Dylan Brooks, I've been giving him love for being one of my favorite irrational confidence guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And also, when they were playing against the Golden State Warriors, you know what I had the nerve to do? Pick them to win.
Great job.
Pick them to win. And by the way, not only can Dylan Brooks lock down defensively, I like the toughness that he brings. Okay? And now you pair him with Ja Morant and you go against a Utah Jazz team without Donovan Mitchell. And what made the Jazz special this year? The three ball.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what made them special this year, right?
Historically well.
They broke the NBA.
It was not going in. They didn't have another plan.
Absolutely.
No Donovan Mitchell.
And by the way, Ja Morant closed the game well again. Mm-hmm. He did it against the Warriors. He also did it against the Jazz. And again, the Jazz will find a way, in my opinion, especially if Donovan Mitchell returns, to win this series. But this is just catapulting what I thought should happen with the Memphis Grizzlies. They didn't make it last year. So now it meant so much to them. Now you go on the road against the number one seed and you take game one. Shout to their head coach, Taylor Jenkins.
You know who, done a terrific job. I want to give a shout to? No one talks about Valanciunas. Valanciunas gets quiet 20 points. He gets a quiet 12 rebounds. Valanciunas deserves more flowers for what he's done, not just in this game, but all season long.
If you want to,
he's forgotten about.
Well, if you want to go deeper into the roster, Valanciunas been balling all year. I agree with you. And they won despite him being in foul trouble in the playoff game. But how about Kyle Anderson?
Yep.
What about slow motion?
You see that fast break?
Exactly. He makes timely stops and blocks and steals, and he's a really intelligent player. So I'm just happy for the Memphis Grizzlies. They're riding this momentum. And by the way, you know when people say, like, do you want rest or rust?
Mm-hmm.
It really helped the Grizzlies that they got challenged in the play-in by the Warriors. Brilliant idea, by the way, by Adam Silver, because you saw that edge that they played with in the Utah Jazz where it stepped slow.
Jalen, another surprising result was the first half in the Celtics-Nets series.
So much great action, baby!
It was such a good weekend. The first half, the Boston Celtics were on fire. Like, they were in the first half, and then the second half, it was the big three. It was James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. As we expected, all performing, scoring the majority, vast majority of the Nets points.
So can I be this dude? Can I really be this dude?
Which dude?
Okay. I'm going to be the dude that tells you guys the Nets didn't look that great.
Okay.
I'm gonna be that dude because.
What are you doing? Don't do it. Whatever you're doing, keep your shirt on.
I wish I didn't have a shirt on. I wanted to show you my chest hairs.
Okay.
Here's the thing about the Nets. They were taking turns. That worries me, Jacoby.
It worries you.
Yeah, it worries me.
You know what? I love your Nets concern. I love it so much. You're gonna change your pick. You said they would not come out of the Eastern Conference. Over the course of this next 5 weeks, you're going to change your pick. Because, yeah, they did take turns, but they had moments. They had moments of time, like 90-second spurts where they scored 12 points. And they looked unstoppable. And I think as they play together more, as we get deeper into the playoffs, that's going to happen more often. They're unstoppable. This is the team that's coming out of the Eastern Conference.
So I know how to, like, distinguish the forest from the trees, right? I know greatness when I see it. As a fellow lefty, James Harden, I love him so much, what he does for us. Like, to see a lefty out there balling the way he balls. Like, I see Kevin Durant. I know he's, like, for me, he's like a modern-day version, a taller version of George Gervin. I know Kyrie Irving is a wizard with the basketball, but you know they only scored 104 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not 140, 104.
They will. You're going to change your pick.
Okay.
I can't wait for the day. I also can't wait to discuss Luka Doncic and the Mavericks going to Los Angeles and hanging a W on the Clippers in game one. So much to discuss. Stay tuned. You're
Who
watching
runs
Jaylen
New York? The Nets or the Knicks?
Knicks. Come on now.
There you go.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mavs go to Los Angeles to take on the Clippers and come away with a win. Jalen, this was a surprising result. What did you think about this game?
Well, there were a couple of surprising results. I was just writing them down when you said it. Phoenix winning, the Hawks winning for a lot of people in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really all about the greatness of Luka. If you look at how this Mavs team continued to mature, it was who can play alongside of Luka and make timely plays. And in this game, it was Finney Smith making threes. I think he made five threes. Tim Hardaway Jr. finds ways to get going. And Porzingis didn't really have a big game.
But he was there.
Exactly. And so I want to first credit the Mavs defense. See, one of the things that happens when you play against the Mavs that people don't talk enough about is Rick Carlisle is a terrific strategist. And you know what they did to Zubac? They put him in pick and roll.
Yep.
And every time he was on Luka, he got cooked.
Every time.
He got cooked.
Every time.
So now y'all got to take him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a piece off of the chessboard. And the other thing about the Clippers, they need better guard play. I've been telling you this all year. We could talk about Kawhi and Paul George struggling. Yes. But can Patrick Beverley be the starting point guard on a championship team? That's what we have to see. This is why you bring in Rondo. This is why you try to see what you can get from Kennard. You're going deeper into your roster because you need like three or four people to play like one. And so, yes, Paul George was trending. Playoff P was trending.
Of course, of course.
Pandemic P was trending. And you need Kawhi to take over in the fourth, which he did not. But I'm going to give all the credit to the Mavs. And by the way, for the Clippers, you better take game two.
Yo, yeah.
You better take game two.
Do you think they're in danger of losing the series?
I do.
I think they lost game one. I think they still win this series. I think they still win the series.
It'll be a long series.
Another great series forming Heat Bucks. This one went into overtime. The Bucks needed this one. They needed this one and they got it from Middleton at the end of the game in overtime. Huge bucket from him. Tough shot.
Give my guy Middleton some love. Somebody like you to just appreciate fancy passes in between the leg, behind the back. What about my guy that's going to get you 20-plus without highlights? He just do it with game winners. And here's a big change for the Bucks this year. They just flat out owned that they're going to give the ball to Middleton in the clutch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's a closer.
He's a closer. That's a big psychological change for their roster, okay? And now that you added Holiday, who made a timely steal and a layup late in that game, you see where Giannis is? He's on the baseline.
Yep.
That's what happens when you don't make threes or free throws in the game. We're going to get a ball to somebody else. And I appreciate the way Middleton stepped up and made a huge shot because emotionally and psychologically, to lose game one to the Heat.
Oh, no.
Especially when Butler and Bam struggled.
They didn't just struggle. They were terrible.
Right. And if you would have lost game one, then all of a sudden you start questioning if last year was a fluke or not. But to get game one the way they did, it was a huge confidence boost for the Milwaukee Bucks.
And if you're the Heat, it's kind of like the Knicks. It's like, yes, we lost, but we were so close and our best player or players did not perform well. We'll see what happens in game two. This series is going to be, it's going to really pivot depending on what happens in game two. Next series we have to discuss, Blazers and the Nuggets.
Mm.
The Blazers and the Nuggets. This is the 3 seed against the 6 seed, mind you. And guess what time it was, Mr. Rose?
Dame time.
What time was it?
Dame time.
Sure was.
You know you got a parking spot on J&J. And here's the thing I was trying to tell you about your guy, Campazzo.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not a great night for him.
Trouble when Dame come to town.
It didn't look good. It didn't look good for my guy. I'm off Campazzo. I'm off Campazzo now. We knew it was going to happen, but I know it's going to look like that. And I don't know if you can put him on the floor.
Shout to Carmelo Anthony.
Yup.
So you're going against your former team. You getting booed. His terrific start to the game helped boost the Blazers. And then here's the other thing. Only one assist for the Joker.
Wild.
Season low.
Wild.
Now, normally when a center has one assist, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Especially if you have 35.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert has one assist. Yeah, exactly. Fine. Yeah.
And he have over 30 and he have over double-digit boards. Normally it's not like, oh, okay, he only had one assist. But that was actually the game plan.
Let's listen to the Blazers discuss what they had in store for Jokic.
Gotcha.
Just trying to make him score, man. It's not like we try, you know, let him go to score, but we want him to score, basically not get involved teammates.
You know, we know when they're at their best, you know, he's setting the table. He's dominating the game.
They want him to score, Jim. Explain.
That totally makes sense because he unlocks the floor for his teammates. And so all of a sudden, you double team him, you triple team him. He's spraying it out to three-point shooters like Michael Porter Jr. When you force him to be a scorer, you stay home with those guys and you saying that you're going to make him beat you with his offense, especially without Jamal Murray. That's when you can do that.
Yep.
No Jamal Murray, no Will Barton. That's when you can use that strategy.
Jalen, finally we have the Wizards against the Sixers. Jalen, this game.
The league on fire, dog.
Was a little sleepy this
one.
This one was a little sleepy, but the Sixers ended up getting the win. One thing I found interesting, Ben Simmons, they don't even need him to score. They've got Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid to produce the scoring. Ben Simmons helps in other ways.
Well, you know, as you start to get older, like, that's what maturity is, like looking yourself in the mirror and owning who you are.
Yes.
And I credit Ben Simmons for realizing I'm not going to shoot outside of the paint.
Ever.
I'm not going to be a three-point shooter.
Ever.
And I'm just going to own my floor game. Mm-hmm. That's what you saw this year from Draymond Green, by the way.
Yep.
The exact same thing.
Yep.
And you saw Ben, 15 boards, 15 assists.
15 assists.
Terrific hustle on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about Tobias Harris. He had 28 points in the first half. That is what that's what catapulted.
No more Ben Simmons slander. The guy's not a scorer, but he makes winning plays.
Jaylen, he's not a shooter.
We have an update on a quarterback, and it is not Aaron Rodgers. It is Russell Wilson. Remember all the drama with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Well, guess what? Pete Carroll says, no more drama.
Really?
Like Mary J. Blige. We'll discuss it right after this. You're watching Jaylen and Jacoby. Three game threes Friday night, starting with the Knicks, Hawks in Atlanta, and then it is the Nets, Celtics, and after that, in the nightcap, it is the Mavs and Clippers. All that Friday night, ESPN. Welcome back to Jaylen and Jacoby. That man, Russell Wilson, was upset with the Seahawks. People were putting him in trades to Chicago and other places, and now head coach of the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, says that it's old news. Drama is over. How do you feel about that?
I feel that the destinations dried up. That they were calling about around the league for Russell. Because the Bears were calling. They just didn't get a deal done.
They got Justin Fields now.
And by the way, Russell said that he wanted to be protected. I didn't see them really go hard on offensive linemen in the draft.
Not really.
Exactly. So stay tuned. That's Pete Carroll's side of the story. Let's see what Russ has to say about this.
We will, and we have a lot to say tomorrow at 2 p.m. Jaylen and Jacoby will be back.
Check us out. Tell a friend and tell a friend.
We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. Mr. Jaylen Anthony Rose.
What up, Doe?
There's a couple things I want to discuss that we just can't get to because of the pace of the television program. Do you know what that is?
What's that, sir?
Brooklyn Nets. Now, Jaylen, you said they're not coming out of the Eastern Conference. And I'm going to name a team, and you tell me if you would pick the Nets to lose in a seven-game series, okay? If the Nets played the Heat, would you pick them to lose a seven-game series?
No.
Okay. If the Nets played the Celtics, which they're currently playing, would you pick them to lose this one?
No.
If the Nets played the Bucks in a second round, seven game series, would you pick them to lose?
Maybe.
Not an option.
No, I'm not serious. I'm trying to tell you, it depends on like who's playing well, the health of the players. It's like a lot closer than you think.
You said something during the television program, which I think was right. They didn't look great.
we can celebrate them all they want.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers and you talk about the big three.
Points, dog.
Yeah, but I'll say this is the Celtics did look great in the first half, but there were spurts in the second half. Spurts where it was just like Harden hits a step back, KD hits a three, Kyrie goes to it's like it possession after possession after possession. When then the Celtics have to call a timeout. There are little spurts like that that I could see turning into quarters, that I could see turning into games, which I could see turning into an unstoppable offensive machine.
Here's what I saw. If Jaylen Brown was playing, the Celtics would have won game one.
So if LaMarcus Aldridge was playing, the Nets would have won game one.
He retired.
Well, Jaylen Brown's hurt.
Correct. And my point behind saying that is the Nets have too many possessions where it's two passes or less in the shot. And when you go against a great defensive team, Jacoby, even if you have KD, even if you have Kyrie, even if you have Harden, you know how you're going to be getting buckets? Oohs and ahs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, when you watch the Nets games, there's some oohs and ahs now. Kyrie get on his Marcus Haynes out there. Get on his Globetrotter. Like James Harden, get a big guy switched on him. He had Tristan Thompson.
It seems like the Nets offense is simply this. Get a big switched on to one of the three, and then he cooks. But it needs some more versatility than that as they move forward.
And so I'm glad you said that. So in the next series, that big is going to be Giannis. See, that's the
Lopez.
But see, not Tristan Thompson. And by the way, shout to Robert Williams, the Time Lord.
Nine blocks. I love him.
I actually talked to him this morning.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
The Time Lord?
Yeah, I did.
Was he on time? Did you have a sick call?
No, I just random, but you know.
He just called your phone. Do you save in your phone as Time Lord?
I do, actually.
I know you do. Because you rarely call Robert Williams. Yeah.
When I said
sometimes I'd be like, does he know his real name? Sometimes I'm like, does he even know his name?
I didn't realize when I said it on TV that I wasn't supposed to say that, actually. You know what I'm saying? But his activity is really impressive. And he now becomes something that the Celtics can look at and say, we can trade Marcus Smart because we have an interior defensive building block. Boom. This offseason, let me just tell you this. This offseason, they're going to trade Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I think so.
So don't be surprised when it
Celtics
happens.
Fans, I know you love Marcus Smart. Just start emotionally detaching yourself from Marcus Smart right now.
Absolutely. And so the Nets are terrific, as you know, and KD can be unstoppable when he gets going. But when Kyrie makes a shot, the next time he gets the ball, he's going to shoot it again.
Oh, yeah.
Now that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
But for anybody that's played a lot of basketball, the defense knows that, too. That's all I'm saying. And when he finally missed, you know what happens? Now KD gets it. He brings it up, and he's going to shoot it, right?
Yep.
And if he makes it or miss it, then James is going to say the same thing.
This ain't the Golden State Warriors from 2 years ago.
No.
This is not that.
And that's just a tough way to eat. You know what I'm talking about.
Mike D'Antoni is like, I've seen this before. What we try to do is try to get a mismatch off a pick and roll, and then we just try to drive to the basket. It's just an ISO.
That's a tough way to eat.
Another thing is Claxton didn't look great. DeAndre didn't look great. And there's a lot of Blake Griffin and Jeff Green. And that's fine when you're playing the Celtics, who don't exactly have a front court that can punish you. But when you start to play the Bucks,
that's what I'm saying.
And you've got Lopez, they posted Lopez up a couple times against the Heat, and you can do that against the Nets.
That's why I had to hit the brakes on your exercise about picking the Nets. Because if they were to play against the Bucks tomorrow, I would pick the Bucks.
I would pick the Nets.
So that's the answer to your question.
Something tells me we'll see that.
Okay.
Because I had the Heat beating the Bucks. Yeah, you know, you got to pick an upset once in a while. Can't be like Jalen Rose just picked chalk. Can't be like that. So I picked the Heat, and man, they needed that one. It felt like if they got game one, they could win the series. But I think that the Bucks got a scare, and they'll settle down.
I'm right so much, I have to warn myself not to say I told you so very often.
I'm so proud of you. Your strength.
That's how right I am.
Your discipline. Your discipline and your strength.
You don't want to be the guy like, I told you.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. I own when I'm wrong. I've been wrong about some stuff.
I like when I'm
wrong.
I've
been wrong about some stuff. Jalen, one thing, I love the plan and you love the plan too. But off the success of the plan, they floated a little something. Yeah, you know the NBA, they plant little stories here and there. And our guy, Adrian Wojnarowski.
My guy. I love Wojnarowski so much.
But they're considering a mid-season tournament. And I just want to say this. NBA, hit the brakes. You know what I mean? Like, we can do this, but let's let the play-in settle for a few years first. How do you feel about some sort of, like, cup? Like a mid-season little mini-championship tournament cup?
So here's what's going to happen with the mid-season idea. And I'm just going to put on wax how I feel about it. I freaking love it.
Really?
Let me tell you why.
I'd love to hear why.
Let me tell you why. Because my favorite team in sports is the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you an angle of the midseason tournament from teams 23 to 30. Like the squads that didn't get invited to the bubble. Okay? I actually go to their games. And you know what I noticed? If we play like 35 or 40 home games this year, one of the two best players for the other team usually didn't play that game.
Mm-hmm.
See, like most of the time, people get a chance to look at it from the lens of the top teams, the top players, the nationally televised games, or whatever. But I want to take y'all deeper into the box score. Think about the teams like the Kings, right? And the Pistons. They now have a level of relevancy during the season that they did not have this season. So now you can't just, quote unquote, sit Jeremy Grant. Because Jeremy Grant gonna wanna get that $1 million.
Jeremy Grant was hurt, right? That's how it happened.
And by the way, let me tell you guys a secret about money. The people that have it will do anything to keep it. And don't underestimate their killer instinct of what it takes to have it. That's why they got it. And don't think if you walk down the street with Oprah Winfrey and it's a $20 bill on the ground, don't think she won't take off them high heels and fight you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because success is also a mentality. Like, I'll pick up a quarter, and then before I know it, I get an email, boom, I just made a dollar, and then I need another, boom, and before you know it, I feel like that snowballs into something. That's what the midseason tournament is going to do. It's going to allow teams that know that they may be headed towards the lottery. Now Oklahoma City got to play.
But what are the stakes? Like, what do you win?
I just said it. Money.
Money?
Money.
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 That's the motivation.
Yes.
Money.
Yes. When is the last time you saw somebody turn down an opportunity to win $1 million?
I mean, I don't buy lottery tickets.
Okay.
I don't buy lottery
tickets. Okay. And trust me.
You know it's $515 million right now?
And yes. Well, we should go play after the show.
I don't do that.
So here's the thing. Just think about what I'm saying, though. The 23 to 30 teams, they now have a level of enthusiasm early in the season. So now Oklahoma City got to actually do something.
Jaylen.
They got to actually do something now.
I bring something up that we didn't discuss about this weekend. It was such a great weekend for the NBA. You know what I really loved?
What?
Fans. Fans. Like, the Madison Square Garden was loud. You could hear boos. They're booing Carmelo Anthony. The Sixers crowd was loud.
But I got a couple points to make about the audiences.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't front. I was looking at the crowds, and I actually did this when somebody was fighting at Cowboy Stadium recently. I forgot who just had that big fight at Jerry's World.
That was Canelo.
I can't front. When I'm looking at crowds, it's almost like I'm watching old footage.
It's going to take a lot of us from getting used to.
You know
to.
What I mean? It's like, is that a VCR?
Can I
like,
tell a story?
Is that a VHS?
I'm going to tell a story I probably shouldn't tell.
Okay.
Last Thursday, me and my wife, we have this little trainer. Shout out to Coach Frank. We work out. And then after we work out, we have a little date night. And last Thursday, we were invited to an event. Indoors. With strangers. And I went there. Wow. And I had my mask on.
Gotcha.
I'm looking around. I'm like the only person. Me and my wife are the only people wearing masks. Like, I'm going to take this mask off. You know what I did, Jalen Rose? I had a couple drinks. You know what I did? I shook hands with strangers. Like, people were like, hey, I'm Bob. And they would stick their hand out. And I would shake their hand. I'm vaccinated. CDC guidelines say that you don't have to wear a mask indoor, outdoors if you're fully vaccinated. They're vaccinated. But let me tell you, it was like, when you tear an ACL, the best athlete in the world tearing an ACL, they have to learn how to walk again. We all seen that footage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to learn how to party again. I used to be an MVP partier, you know, but I've lost my skills. It felt so funny to be inside without a mask, shaking hands with strangers.
And I'm glad we're getting back to some sort of normalcy. But as you bring up the pandemic and social distancing, it's only my duty to discuss LeBron James breaking protocol and not being punished by the NBA.
That was interesting. We all knew it was going to happen, but it was interesting to watch it happen and the way it did.
And you know, Jacoby, how my integrity in doing this job means everything to me. And so after I say what I say, people going to act like I don't love LeBron. I'm jealous because he got a school. I'm just hate, right? But let me just tell you something. The King made two huge missteps this season. Number one, his rant about the play-in against Adam Silver. That was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA has been a terrific partner of the players and of LeBron James. And Adam Silver, by the way, should be applauded for the play-in idea because it's genius.
Now, Lakers-Warriors game.
So, by the way, it's genius.
Lakers-Warriors
right?
game, the ratings just speak for themselves.
And you
There's
know,
fan interest there.
And this is why I bring that up, to bring it full circle. Who was playing in that game?
LeBron James.
Okay.
And what did he do? What did he do the night before the game?
Okay.
The night before the game, what did he do?
He was at a tequila launch that he's part owner or owner of. And it's funny how the words get spent, right? Instead of it being called a party, It's like a gathering.
An event.
An event.
Everyone there had to be vaccinated or tested negative. LeBron James hasn't told us whether or not he's vaccinated. So that's why he didn't violate the NBA protocols. Whatever, he violated.
Well. Here's three missteps that LeBron made this year.
It went from 2 to 3.
Yeah. Number one, not owning being vaccinated or not. That's a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a huge mistake. Like, this ain't political, everybody. I don't care who you vote for. I just know 600,000 people died of coronavirus. And all I know is 2 years ago, I wasn't socially distancing and I wasn't wearing a mask. So that means this is actually serious.
Yes, very.
I don't have to be the smartest person, but if I've ever put a mask on my face, that means something is really happening serious that I should pay attention to. So number one, the rant against Adam Silver about the plan.
Yep.
Number two, not owning getting vaccinated. And let me tell you why that's important. Do you realize the entire NBA isn't vaccinated yet?
Mm-hmm. And they need like 85% threshold in order to have like team activities.
So when you watching the game, remember I said these words into a microphone. There are a reason why you still see certain coaches and players wearing masks. Because the entire NBA is not vaccinated yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible message.
And they're at risk. They're not at their house.
They're playing basketball, physical activity, and you're close proximity to somebody breathing all on them, spitting all on them, sweating on all them, talking to
yelling,
them.
Yelling. All that. Indoors, yelling at each other.
If we're wearing a mask so somebody doesn't get droplets on someone else, that happens all of the time.
Knowing what we know about the coronavirus now, that is the way to spread it. Yelling in someone else's face.
Correct. And the third thing is he put the NBA in an awkward spot.
Yeah, he did.
So the playoffs about to start. I know Michael B. Jordan was there. I know Drake was there. I know you want to launch your tequila brand. But you know where that should have happened? At the crib. See, that's why you get paid top dollar, Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you have an estate instead of a house. You have to have that at the crib.
But it felt orchestrated because it was a photo opportunity event. They wanted these photos to get out and get talked about and be spread to promote this tequila brand.
Correct.
But I think he was like, I think in his head, he's like, I know I'm doing something wrong, but they ain't gonna do nothing. It was like when I make empty threats to my son. You know what I mean?
Like, he ain't gonna really
I was like, well, then you're not gonna be able to watch TV. And he's just like
yeah, my son's gonna be watching TV.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm gonna watch TV.
What are you gonna do? Tie me to a chair?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, as a parent, you're trying not to do empty threats. And I felt like LeBron kind of, as you said, put them in a bad spot. If you're the league, you can't put LeBron on the sideline for 10 to 14 days, just like you did all the other players that violated protocol.
And so that's a perfect example of this, everyone. In life, you want people to be treated fair, but not equal.
Life isn't fair.
Because that's unrealistic. And for LeBron James, when you put the league in that awkward spot, I got another word I want to interject. Karma! That's why they lost game one.
They lost game one because Anthony Davis barely showed up with his sleepy pajamas.
They lost game one, right? I feel like the Phoenix Suns should have been awarded a game because LeBron didn't get suspended. That was their karma.
Well, let me tell you something. The Heat lost game one, but it was overtime. It was close. Took a last second shot. The Knicks lost game one, but it was real close. And it took a Bogdanovich three and a floater.
Yep.
Lakers lost game one and I can't say the same.
They got waxed.
I can't say the same.
They got waxed.
And Chris Paul was hurt and could barely move his arm.
So, first off, the Lakers got waxed. So, I don't know what the final score was or whatever.
I think they ended up losing by 8 or 10 or whatever.
Some people,
yeah.
Like, when I'm watching the game, I was IG live during this game. And it was like 4 minutes to go in the game. And you hate to be this dude. I'm like, the Lakers will not win today.
Oh, it felt like that early.
I said, they will not win this game.
It felt like that early.
I said, look at Anthony Davis. He's at the three line and nobody's in that color area. I promise all of you, they will not win
today.
How
many times did the Suns call timeout because the Lakers went on a run?
None.
I can't remember
one. That's what I'm
saying. They just came out flat. They played flat the whole game long. Very quickly, we have to wrap this up soon. Big shout out to Phil Mickelson. Love to see my seasoned Kings, you know, beat up on the whippersnappers. Phil Mickelson's 50 years old. You shouldn't be winning championship in any sport when you're 50.
Well, no. I disagree with that.
What?
You got Tom Brady playing a physical sport like football, winning championships at 43.
He's nailing it.
And by the way, he took advantage, Phil did, of an exemption to actually get invited to play. And once he showed up to play, Big Cavs got it done.
Sure did. I wanted to be closer. I like golf tournaments, but only like the last two holes. Like, I'm not going to sit down and watch for 6 hours, but if it's close in the last few holes, that is some riveting television. So, I checked in the last few holes, and Brooks and Phil, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even fun to watch. A couple other things. We got a big shout to Simone Biles, GOAT. Not only did she do a double Yurchenko pike.
Incredible.
But I want to give her a shout because she has like her uniform, I forget what they call it, on the back in rhinestones, there's a GOAT. She has a GOAT on the back of her own uniform. She knows she's the GOAT, living, breathing, still performing as the greatest of all time.
That's why some of my favorite players in the history of the NBA or any sport, I label them as having irrational confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my favorite quotes came from the movie Rocky. And it's the part, so I get a little philosophical with this. I think the quote is like, the world isn't all sunshines and rainbows. It's like, it's a mean and nasty place. It'll beat you to your knees and it'll keep you there if you let it. And that's true. That's actually true. And so your ability to breed confidence in yourself to go out and chase your goals and chase your dreams is gonna triumph anyone else, because no one else woke up today wanting your dreams more than you.
Or worried about you. There's like three people that like really care about
you. Once you get like 21, I'm gonna tell you something. It's gonna be a handful of people that give you $100. Like once you get like 21, like life changes. And speaking of that, I wanna make sure I shout out my nephew, Troy Rose.
Big shout to Troy.
The king was crowned this weekend. Not only did he graduate from Michigan State undergrad, he just got his master's degree from Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse.
Big shout to Troy.
Now,
I have a very important question for you about Troy, because we got to wrap this up.
And I just have to say this. I'll give you some analytics. 0.1% of black men that go to Detroit public schools get a master's degree.
Wow. Wow. Well, I appreciate all the work you're doing to change that, Mr. Rose.
Thank you.
Starting with Troy.
Thank you.
Very quick question before we wrap up. I saw you on IG Live playing basketball with Troy. You guys were shooting around, right? And then Troy, I was DMing with Troy. Love Troy. And he said that y'all play one-on-one, but he said you played one-on-one to 10. Who plays one-on-one to 10? I thought it was an internationally accepted that only odd numbers were what people play to. For some reason, I only play to odd numbers.
Yeah, I don't know where you get that from. And by the
way, is that a me thing?
That's a you thing.
Really? Yeah. So and people, they'll call in through 985-80 Jalen and tell me if you play ones and twos or just ones to 10.
We play ones and twos. We play ones and twos. I'm 48 years old.
Shout out to
and,
you.
And instead of us playing to 5 or to 7, that's initially what I proposed.
Yeah, 7's like a good right? number. 7 or 11. Initially, that's just what people play to. 7 or 11.
Initially, that was the proposal. And so we got to 10 so we could play longer. That's what ended up happening. And by the way, we played 3 games. I won all 3.
No, you got a foot on Troy. You got a foot on.
There are a lot of people taller than
I
Troy.
I know, but height matters in one-on-one.
Yes, it does.
You know, like, that's like, I'm not a good basketball player, but I can beat you one-on-one if you're shorter than me.
But here's why you got to have rules. 5 dribble max.
I do like that rule. I stole that from you. I do like that one. Because I'll just back you down and dribble 15 times and turn around and hit a jump hook and do it again and again and again.
Yeah, we're not doing all of that.
Jay, it's great to have you back in the studio. It's great to have NBA playoff basketball here. We will have a show every single day this week and this weekend. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.